Make sure you're subscribed to Issues Etc. Type Issues Etc. in your podcast provider, hit that subscription button, and leave us a 5-star review. This will make it easier for other podcast listeners to find Issues Etc.
The irony, though, is that if they succeed, if they actually do tear this country down, dismantle it as they want to, then the luxury and freedom and comfort that they take for granted really will disappear. And they will finally get the authentic version of the oppression that they so desperately want.
Matt Walsh speaking at this year's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Unless we as the rational, we as the moral, we who understand objective truth, objective morality, unless we stand in the way for their sake and for our own.
You can watch and listen to Matt Walsh's presentation, Making the Case Against Woke Culture, with a recording of the 2020 Making the Case Conference. We'll send you links to download a podcast and watch a video stream for a tax-deductible contribution of $250. Find out more at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. Well, you thought that same-sex marriage came fast. It did, much faster than anyone expected. And people were wondering, what's next? What's on its heels? Well, we are now finding out. We're finding out that the next step in the sexual revolution, starting out with kind of a cultural acceptance in big cities among the elites, people yawning when they hear about something like polyamory, it's the new fashion, and then some municipality decides that they're going to perform and allow a polyamorous marriage. But we're there now, and the New York Times thinks it's just great. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. On this Friday afternoon, August the 21st, we're going to talk about a pro-polyamory story and opinion column in the New York Times. Glenn Stanton joins us. He's director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of several books, including The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, No Matter How Much the New York Times Pumps Polyamory, It's Not Good for Kids. Glenn, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
You say that 2020 has been poly summer, if there ever was one. What do you mean by that?
Well, first of all, I mean, when radical family form like polyamory, and we'll get into what that is, gets within 8 days of itself at the beginning of August, from one day on August 4th, the other day on August 12th, gets an incredibly two puff pieces from the New York Times on how wonderful poly families are. I mean, that's a big thing. The other is the municipality of Somerville, Massachusetts, just this summer legalized polyamory as a legally recognized family form. I mean, that's a big thing as well. And so we're seeing, I mean, lots and lots of things of people just coming forward and saying, hey, this idea of polyamory, which is basically many loves, it's group love, it's group sex families, if you will, just coming forth and celebrating this idea of any configuration sexually of however many adults a group wants to have, saying that that is a great family form is very, very problematic. But it is remarkable how quickly, I mean, it was same-sex marriage, and then it's the trans celebration, and now it seems to be, and all indications are in this direction, that now the next thing is polyamory.
Tell us about these two pieces in the New York Times.
Yeah, like I said, I mean, just within 8 days of one another, the first one was a celebration of what they called, let's see what the title is, The Challenges of Polyamorous Parenting. And the subtitle, Starting a Family with More Than Two Parents Can Present Legal and Social Pitfalls, But Here's How Some Parents Are Making Them Work. And it's just this wonderful, you know, heartwarming profile of, oh gosh, look at these three adults, these four adults coming together to raise this child together. And again, there is no real negative reporting in here. It's just everything is two thumbs up on the poly family. And that was their first article coming out August 4th. Their second article that came out August 12th is entitled "Polyparent Households Are Coming." And this individual writing in the New York Times just makes some incredibly radical statements about what the polyfamily means and some reproductive technology developments that are happening that will really subvert the heterosexual family, and they celebrate this as being a wonderfully positive thing.
So how is polyamory different from polygamy or polyandry?
Well, see, that's a very, very important question, Todd. I mean, polygamy is essentially this idea of one man, many wives. And as odd as it may sound, that has a little more of a traditional ideal to it. It's the radical Mormons. It's the more fundamentalist Mormons. It's the Old Testament patriarchal idea, those kinds of things. But that's what that is, one man collecting for himself many different wives. Polyamory is a whole different thing, and this is just simply any group of adults, a number of men, a number of women coming together in different configurations and different sexual liaisons. There's gay, straight, bi, quasi, pan, I mean, everything in these sorts of relationships. I say, quote unquote, facetiously, the wonderful thing about these families is that people just define them as they go. They just make them up as they go along. And therefore, of course, you have people, it's a revolving door kind of thing. You have partners coming in, you have partners leaving, but it's a group setting. It's a group love setting, if you will. And we had this in the 60s, of course, but what you're seeing now is the legal recognition and praise of such families by otherwise very serious people.
So if you would, there are claims that are made about polyamory that it's easier to parent or that children somehow have great benefits of having multiple quote unquote parents as opposed to those poor kids that just have mom and dad. What does the research actually show us with regard to those two issues?
Yeah, and see, Todd, I mean, what you're saying is exactly what the New York Times reported. Oh, these are wonderful families because, you know, there's lots of hands on deck to help out with the chores and things like that. And then the New York Times actually said that kids with two-parent families are actually crippled, if you will, walking with a limp because there's only just two parents. And so, I mean, it is just remarkable. And first of all, one of the New York Times pieces says that there is research that shows that not celebrating these types of families do great significant harm to the individuals in them. Now, that's manipulation. In fact, it's kind of an emotional terrorism that says you better treat these families well, you better embrace them, you better praise them, you better tell them that they're just fantastic, every one of them gets a trophy, because if we do not, the people in those families will suffer. Well, as I say in the Federalist piece, I know this literature extremely well. I get to follow it very closely in my work at Focus on the Family, and there is no research that indicates in any way that taking a negative view of the poly family causes any harm. In fact, I mean, that's the drama, is we know from loads of research that whenever you move away from mom and dad married for life, raising their own biological or adopted children, children suffer in all the different ways that sociology knows how to measure such things. So on their research stuff, and I get very passionate about this, Todd, is on their research stuff, the New York Times, in their case for making the case for why polyamory families are just so wonderful, they get their research absolutely precisely backwards and wrong. And they need to be called out on that.
Glenn, there's also the claim made in the past with respect to no-fault divorce, that kids are resilient, they'll bounce back, maybe polyamorous marriage is not the best for kids, but they're flexible. What do you make of that?
Oh, I mean, Todd, that is exactly what the New York Times quotes. They quote a woman, Dr. Elizabeth Sheff. She wrote the book, The Polyamorous Next Door, and they quote her saying this: generally speaking, kids are resilient to loss, and most children experience a lot of it growing up. So that is exactly what the PhD talking head, happy talk people advocating for the divorce revolution said in the 1970s. Oh, kids are resilient. They have people coming in and out of their lives all the time. And Dr. Judith Wallerstein and nearly every other researcher that followed kids of divorce said, wow, guess what? These kids carry the mark of the dissolution of their family deeply within them. And in fact, Wallerstein said it is cumulative. It gets worse as the kids get older and follows them into adulthood. And so we know that from the divorce revolution, but here we have this empty, disturbing happy talk from this polyamorous advocate, Dr. Elizabeth Sheff, who, again, the New York Times quotes as an authority, saying, oh, well, gosh, kids are resilient to these kinds of things. It is false. It is wrong. And the New York Times should just absolutely be ashamed of itself, not for advocating necessarily something, but getting the facts about what they're advocating for so tremendously wrong.
You deal with one other thing here that is even more disturbing, that goes hand in hand with the push for polyamory, and that is a kind of dreamed for in vitro technique for conceiving children. Explain it to us.
Yeah, and this is what the second New York Times piece talks about. Their piece, the polyparent households are coming, they are celebrating something called IVG. It's called vitro gametogenesis. And basically what that means is it's different than IVF. IVG is this thing where, and it hasn't been perfected, I say that, in humans, but it's only been done in mice, but basically where scientists are able to take any skin cells of any individual and turn them into either male or female reproductive cells, either egg or sperm. So that means that if this gets perfected, if this is possible, and the New York Times piece is looking hopefully toward this, that a group of 8 women could come together, have their skin cells, their female skin cells, some of them turned into male cells, and the 8 of them could come together and produce a biological child that belongs to each one of them without the help of a man in any way whatsoever. And the implications of that are, I mean, they would make Orwell turn over in his grave. But that is exactly what they're celebrating. And it's interesting that the Times says this. They said, the bigger revolution of IVG, the bigger revolution of IVG is to dismantle completely the reproductive structure of heterosexuality. The Times commentary goes on to say, and once we no longer need the traditional family structure to create children, our need for that traditional family is likely to fade as well. Now, that is an utterly ridiculous statement, but they're making it. An otherwise serious publication called the New York Times is celebrating the displacement, if you will, of the traditional family. And I go in to explain in detail why that is so problematic, but that is exactly what they're doing in this article.
The question just builds and builds, Glenn. Why? Why this... Why this headlong rush not only to kind of redefine marriage? That's, I think, just a symptom of what you've just mentioned, the greater headlong rush to dismantle and distort the family.
Well, It's not just dismantling the family. It's a particular type of family. And Todd, you're exactly right. The questions just rush to mind. But why this? Why the constant hammering on the idea of mother and father raising their own biological and adopted children? You have to say that, well, there must be something there that these people hate, that these people cannot just rest with. And as I say in the article, it's not for want of trying that we as humans across cultures, and I want to be very clear, this is not just the Christian ideal of the human family. This is the universal human ideal of the universal family, because there is no place on the face of the earth where any human culture has been able to find a family form that raises the next generation of that community better than a mother and father committed to each other for life, raising collectively their own biological or adopted children with the help of the aunts, uncles, grandmothers, grandfathers, things like that. There is no society that has ever come up with a better model for doing that. Plato talked about this in his Republic. He envisioned the alternative family. Plato, that has never been accomplished anywhere to date for a very good reason. It was Aristotle in his Politic on the other side who said no. He's the one who coined and termed the phrase the nuclear family, because that unit, mother, father, children, working together, collectively cooperative, that serves as the irreducible nucleus, the building block of every single fundamental society that is successful. And so the New York Times, in their just absolute hubris, cannot let go of this idea that, no, maybe we could realize Plato's ideal of, well, we're just going to have any group of people creating the family. We don't need mom, dad, and the kids. It is a pipe dream, and it needs to be given up on. And here's the dangerous thing, that in the meantime, millions and millions upon millions of children are suffering because adults, radical adults, have new ideas about what it is they would like rather than what the kids actually need.
Then finally, with about 30 seconds, prediction. Just as we got same-sex marriage rather quickly after the political and social push for it began, much more quickly than people anticipated, will we have polyamorous marriage legalized by the same means?
Oh, my goodness. We absolutely will. I mean, count on it. And here's the deal. I talk about this in the article. A law review article just a couple of years ago makes the case that polyamory is a legitimate bona fide sexual orientation. The Supreme Court said you cannot discriminate against sexual orientations. Their Bostick decision this summer. So here we go. I mean, that cow is out of the barn, and yes, you can count on it. The polyamorous family will be a legally protected family form that none of us will be able to say anything negative about. That's the scary days that we live in, Todd.
Glenn Stanton is director of family formation studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of several books, including his latest, The Myth of the Dying Church, and a recent column for The Federalist titled, No Matter How Much the New York Times Pumps Polyamory, It's Not Good for Kids. You'll find a link to it on the Talk on Demand archives page at issuesetc.org. Glenn, thank you.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Well, the Democratic Party had to go first. Somebody had to go first, but they were scheduled to go first with their national convention. It had to be held virtually. It was held over the course of 4 nights. It was pretty well produced, considering the fact they were doing something they'd never done before. When we come back, we're going to get some analysis of the Democratic National Convention from Molly and Mark Hemingway. Between two lovers, feeling like a fool. thanks to a generous donor, we've purchased a building for the new studios and offices of Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, and the Word of the Lord Endures Forever.
The donor will match up to $200,000 for the purchase and renovation.
The entire cost is approximately $375,000.
You can view an architect's rendering and make a special tax-deductible gift at issuesetc.org
or call 618-223-8385.
Thanks for your consideration.
Essential exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's a monthly magazine on faith and life, theology and culture that helps readers interpret the contemporary world from a Lutheran Christian perspective. Filled with expert insights, good writing, and inspiring stories, it also provides essential church information for LCMS members. What is the Lutheran Witness? Simple. It's the flagship periodical of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and it has been for more than a century. Visit cph.org/witness to subscribe today.